Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic Friday today. Got a lot of different articles to go over. Ted's actually doing some stuff out on the runway right now, so he won't be joining us on the show unless he gets done early, which if he is, it'll be probably the second half of the show, but that is fine. I have a plethora of articles to go over today. A lot of news going on down here in Florida at the end of July. One thing that I did want to touch base on first, though, is to let everybody know, you know, we had had a bunch of issues going back and forth with the Ultimate Moldable Powder. The new batch is still being finished up right now. We're hoping that's going to be done by next week, maybe the week after that. It's had a lot of delays being how stringent the restrictions are as far as with this product and how high we want the quality, potency, and everything being guaranteed. The manufacturing facility, though, did let us know yesterday that they had a small amount of the Best Buy date cans left, the stuff that was manufactured at the end of 2016 that we did the huge sale on a couple weeks ago, and we ran out very, very quickly. They did let us know that they have a small batch left that we just got in this morning, and I put it up on the website, and I'm letting everybody know very clearly, I am listing it right now at $29.99, the same price, basically below our cost on it for this product. We have a very limited amount. We will not change the price on it. We will not do anything with it. It is what we have left in stock, first come, first serve, on the website right now, over 50% off. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up on that, our listeners, to know first. Nobody else even knows about this yet except people here in the office. And so I just wanted to give everybody a heads up. It's on the front page of the website. But we've been trying to work as best we can. When you're dealing with products that are this detailed as far as, I mean, you look at the Ultimate Moldable Powder, and the amount of nutrients in it, and at the level of clinically relevant dosages that are in this product, it becomes very difficult sometimes to keep up with this product. So again, we appreciate your patience. Thank you for the support, and just let everybody know we do have the product on the website and a very small quantity left, but again, it's first come, first serve. I don't suspect us having much more of it, you know, until next week we'll probably be out of it, and then hopefully we can get everything finalized on the new batch. So just wanted to put that out there on. And also, too, the product of the week, if you guys have seen already, is the Muscle Blast Formula, our branched chain amino acid formula. This is not the three amino acid formula that many typical bodybuilding formulas have with the L-leucine, isoleucine, valine. This is a full spectrum branched chain amino acid, which is crucial. The leucine and the other ones that you a lot of times see, the top three, are very important. However, you need a full spectrum branched chain amino acid if you're really wanting to recover quickly and also give the body the full raw ingredients it needs to rebuild that muscle tissue very quickly. This product is something I use every single day when I train. I usually put two scoops of it in water with the HGH stimulant and the magnesium brain food. And big jug of water, about 30, 35 ounces, and drink it throughout the whole workout. This keeps you pretty much with a non-caloric protein-providing supplement. What I mean by that is you don't want to really drink a protein shake the whole time you work out, because primarily you're not going to dig into body fat reserves if you're trying to burn body fat in high intensity. Plus, it's really heavy on your gut. You know, you're drinking a big, you know, 200-300 calorie protein shake. It's difficult to work out on. So you want something that's not really going to provide any calories, so you have to step into stored calories a little bit further and get the metabolism boosted and so forth. But at the same time, you don't want to go catabolic and start breaking down muscle tissue very, very aggressively more than you need to. And this Muscle Blast formula is what we designed about 2 years ago to really, really help with muscle recovery and workouts and everything else through the workout and after the workout. So that's on sale right now for over 10% off. First article I wanted to get into today, as you guys have seen over the last year or two, we've seen a lot of hardcore rhetoric and just really almost slick propaganda used by the mainstream media to counteract any type of alternative news media outlet truth. We've seen this heavily now with the vaccines. We've, for the last 2-3 years now, we've seen, whether it be memes, whether it be all these different news articles, whether it be CNN, Fox News, doesn't matter, all across the board, all they want to do is talk about how safe vaccines are and how these anti-vaxxers are coming out and doing all this harm to society because we want to essentially discuss clean vaccines being produced. That's all we want to discuss, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't go along with the narrative. Well, apparently now they have seen that the alternative media has really picked up on 5G network, the dangers of 5G network, and why we do not need 5G network, along with the fact that 5G network is not even going to produce what they've claimed it has. So the New York Times now put out an article last week titled, "The 5G Health Hazard That Isn't," and they immediately attempted to blame the 5G scare, that they call it, on an inaccurate scientific chart of one scientist back in the year 2000 who said Wi-Fi radiation was a serious health hazard. And he was right. I'll go into that in detail. That was Dr. Bill Curry, who actually warned Broward County Public School System nearly 20 years ago when asked to study laptops and wireless networks for 250,000 students of Broward County. The most troubling evidence of the Wi-Fi was the microwave absorption in the brain tissue, with the body of this report detailing how radio waves could sow brain cancer, a terrifying disease, essentially, that he talks about in there. Well, of course, they tried to skew this entire story from 20 years ago when he's talking about Wi-Fi and essentially laptops, which 5G wasn't even something that was even talked about, much less known really about in detail back in the year 2000. But they try to use this story just like they do with the vaccine. How they try to go back to the whole issue of the autism with the measles and the article that's, it's already been debunked. There is no autism linked to the MMR vaccine or any vaccine. As you guys know, they were completely reiterate that rhetoric over and over and over again. Well, the interesting thing about this is we already know that 5G is used in the U.S. military crowd control devices. We already know that. That's a fact now. We've seen the patent studies on that. Now, what's funny about this is Dr. Davis, the founder and president of Environmental Health, who's authored more than 200 publications, just put out an article basically debating the unbelievably inaccurate New York Times article, and he stated, "The miseducation of America on 5G, how the New York Times got it spectacularly wrong." And he goes into detail on how the MSM, mainstream media, is essentially putting out more fake news. He said, first off, Dr. Curry's report and graph on wireless radiation risk to children in schools in the year 2000 was not the central foundation for scientific concerns regarding wireless radiation. It was a concern 20 years ago, and there have been numerous studies, and he goes into detail on those. He goes, long before even the year 2000, scientists had investigated and confirmed numerous health impacts with electromagnetic frequency radiation alone, much less Wi-Fi laptops. He said for over two decades, the EPA had a robust research program on electromagnetic fields that was expressly defunded by Congress in 1995 out of nowhere. Shortly after that, the EPA briefed the FCC about plans for developing EMF safety standards. And of course, this time we've seen the EMF safety standards that were brought out are completely and totally egregious. The level of standards that they've put out is so minimal. And then, as you guys know, ironically, the FCC, without any type of outside support, unanimously voted last year that 5G network would now be protected federally, and that any state, city, local municipality, all laws would be preemptive as far as underneath 5G FCC reg requirements, meaning no state law, no city law, no county law, nothing could take priority over 5G FCC requirements now. I talked about this in detail. And so they have the ability to come in now. It doesn't matter if they come in and say, our Auburndale City, where our office is here, and they come in and they say, listen, We're doing 5G network towers on every single light pole you have in Auburndale. And the county commissioners come in and they say, absolutely not. We're not allowing you to bring this into our city. We're not allowing you to bring this into our county, the best we can do. And we're not going to allow you to do this. And then they come in and they drop a stack of papers and they say, oh, by the way, the federal FCC, we've come in now and we voted unanimously last year, if you guys didn't notice this. And we're letting you know that the federal law revolving around 5G trumps all of your city municipality laws. So there's nothing you can physically do about it except sue us on a federal level, and we'll let you know in a couple years how that turns out for you. That's literally what they did last year when the FCC stepped in and did that. So what's ironic about that is what you also see, too, going back to the article as far as the rebuttal that Dr. Bill Curry did in a lot of this other research, is that Curry's chart had nothing to do with frequencies of 5G. What he talked about was with lower and slower wireless frequencies and the use of time and the Wi-Fi penetration of the body and brain at Wi-Fi max. Wireless radiation frequencies get faster and higher. The depth of penetration goes down, but the rate of absorption goes up. So we see all this stuff that 5G is starting to produce, and we realize how unbelievably dangerous it is. The other aspect of 5G that is so ironic that nobody even wants to talk about, you guys are going to like this here. Nobody's really brought this up before. 5G was created solely with machines' needs in mind, offering low latency, high efficiency data transfer. Get this. It was only designed specifically for machines' needs in mind. That's what 5G was originally brought out for. Then, of course, they brought out basically the active denial systems with that frequency that worked great as well. So it's not only used primarily only for machines' needs, but also, too, as a weapon warfare tool. They got to really question why 5G is being mandated. Now, here's the kicker. We hear all this rhetoric. 5G is going to be so fast. It's going to be all quick. It's going to get internet to everybody in the world. They're going to have super fast internet, super fast download speeds. That's the rhetoric we've heard. And we all know that to be false now. And here's the math on it. 4G, which we already currently have, has 50 millisecond delay. 50 milliseconds, which is literally nothing. That's absolutely nothing for, as far as human perception, 50 milliseconds is nothing. 5G data transfer, they said, will offer basically a 1 to 5 millisecond delay. So it's going to be very quickly. This is the numbers. This is where they're getting you, where it's going to be 20 and 30 times faster. So, yeah, on a millisecond spectrum, it's going to be significantly faster, anywhere from about 50 times faster to 25 times faster. And you go, oh, 50 times faster. That sounds so exciting. 50 times faster. No, it's going to go from 50 milliseconds to 1 millisecond, which is virtually undetectable by the human eye or human ear or any type of human detection. So humans won't even notice the difference of speed that 5G is allegedly going to produce, but it will permit machines to deliver near seamless communication all across the world, which in itself is a Pandora's box of trouble for us if we actually allow this to go into effect. Many studies have already associated the low-level radio frequency exposure with the health effects, including DNA single and double strand breaks, oxidative stress, disruption of cell metabolism, increase of blood-brain barrier permeability, melatonin reduction, disruption of brain glucose metabolism, generation of stress proteins. As mentioned, the new 5G technology utilizes higher frequency bands, which give off the same dose of radiation as airport scanners. Adoption of 5G will mean more signals carrying more energy through high-frequency spectrum with more transmitters located closer to people's home and workplaces. Basically, in a nutshell, a whole lot more of radiation frequency flying around you all the time, never turning off. Furthermore, the sweat ducts in the human skin upper layer act like antennas, which are specialized antennas constructed specifically to respond to electromagnetic fields. With millions of these sweat ducts and 5G's increased radiation frequency needs, it stands reason that our bodies will become far more conductive to this radiation. The full ramifications of this fact are presently unclear, especially for more vulnerable members of the public. Now, I'm not going to go into more detail on that because Dad's talked about that in detail. detail as far as the ability of what our bodies have as antennas and how the 5G network's actually going to use us to bounce off of. Very, very weird stuff. Considering the fact you already know the U.S. military uses crowd dispersal method as an active denial system that makes essentially the people that are being shot with this 5G make their skin burning, it really makes to beg the question the microwave population as far as what they're planning on using with this and the telecommunications industry want to fill our atmosphere with this 5G network. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up because now we know the fact that New York Times is producing a complete and total propaganda piece talking about essentially how great 5G is and how idiot anybody is, how much of an idiot anybody is that doesn't believe 5G is awesome and it's completely safe and that all the research that essentially talks about it is from 20 years ago and is completely inaccurate, when in reality the 5G wasn't even something that was being discussed. It was more based on Wi-Fi in Curry's article back in the year 2000. So this means that they're doing the best they can to do a hard 5G rollout in the near future. This is why they do it with the vaccines. This is why they come out with all the lies and rhetoric and propaganda about vaccines on a regular basis. Now they're doing it to 5G. This is exactly what we warned about. Hold on. I had to get a little bit of water there. So that's just something that I wanted to touch base on as well, because this is something that we need to understand. Do your best to fight this on a local level. I already know in Orlando I've heard reports that 5G is coming out and being rolled out already out there. And so that's something that I'm not a big fan of, and that they're going to try to hit the major cities with it first and then try to roll it out to the more rural areas and get everybody tied in. Because the only way, and they've already talked about this, we talked to a very good friend of ours, I can't release his name on here, and he was in Orlando about 2 years ago, and they had a huge conference essentially on AI and autonomous vehicles. And we went into detail and we talked about a lot of the stuff that's going on out there, and he said the issue with the autonomous vehicles is the only way they're going to get the autonomous vehicles fully up and running is they have to have a full 5G Internet of Things installed everywhere, because the autonomous vehicles are essentially the only way for a fully autonomous vehicle to operate is to have full AI technology embedded into it, meaning it has to be able to function. Well, the only way for full AI technology to function is to be on 5G, as I just talked about there. It's geared solely for machines. And the only way for them to function on a network, which is the only way vehicles are going to be able to do that, they're not going to be able to just function, you know, on one little part of the highway. They have to communicate on the entire part of the highway all across the country. And that is by putting a 5G network in that all the autonomous vehicles can roll on all across the country everywhere they go. And that is going to be the next step. Once those go into place, he said, they will no longer begin to allow individuals to drive your own vehicle. They will require you at some point in time, it won't be anytime soon, because this is going to take at least another 5 to 10 years to get this rolled out, probably 2030, ironically, but they're going to require individuals no longer to drive your own vehicle. You know, you may be able to go to a track or something like that and rent cars, kind of the liberal fantasy of firearms. You know, you can go to a gun range and rent a gun, but you can't own a gun. That is what they want to do with vehicles next, because at that point, they can control the travel of everybody in the entire world or country, wherever they're controlling it on, because you're not going to be able to drive your vehicle freely, unmolested on your way anymore. You're going to get an autonomous vehicle. And if anything occurs, you haven't paid a parking fee, you haven't paid a ticket, you haven't paid your taxes, you haven't done something that they want you to do, you haven't basically, you said something online that they don't approve of, essentially when you get in the vehicle, it's just going to pull you over and said, you know, basically, sorry, Mr. Brower, we have an issue right now. We've notified law enforcement that we've have a certain issue arising. Law enforcement will be here to conduct an investigation with you immediately. And they lock the doors, they pull over to the side of the road, and you're stuck. You're stuck in the back of an autonomous vehicle. There's no way for you to drive it or get out of it until law enforcement gets there and essentially extracts you out for whatever reason they deem to do so. That is the next step. So that's something that I really just wanted to touch base on with the 5G, because it really, really got me when I saw New York Times put that article out. It showed me that we're actually starting to get this information out there. That's the only reason they put that propaganda piece out there. Also, too, in other news, you guys will like this now. As the political correctness continues, literally knows no bounds, they completely that are just out of control now. The hardcore leftist communist social justice warriors literally know no bounds. According to the Inclusive Communications Task Force, I kid you not, that is the name of it, the Inclusive Communications Task Force at Colorado State University in Fort Collins, they are now saying that it is no longer acceptable to say America or Americans because these words are racist and not inclusive. I kid you not, the word America and Americans apparently trigger the left and thus must be banned from conventional vernacular to make everyone in campus feel welcome, respected, and valued. They go on to say here that the CSU leadership has already issued a disclaimer saying the language changes are not official policy or required practice. We're not forcing you to do so. Hilariously, the school is also claiming that none of the suggestions about political correctness or political grammar, but rather about helping communicators practice inclusive language. We now have to be inclusive with our language, by the way, guys. Just to let you know that. According to the left, if we're not fully inclusive with everything we say and we offend anybody with any word that we say, we have now failed as communicators, and we need to go back to the drawing board and take remedial speaking classes on how to talk to people inclusively. This is what they're essentially implying. And here, this is the part I really like this. This is a spokesman for the individual rights in education. He goes, the guide does not encompass a great deal of everyday common expressions that the speech of some students may be chilled if they are confused into thinking the document represents official policy. Official policy. However, given the introductory language, I would be unlikely that any student carefully reading the guide would be mistaken and led to believe they would face disciplinary action for this speech. So what they're coming out now is they're saying, these are the words we want you to use, these are the words we don't think you should use, and you really shouldn't say them because you need to be inclusive and you need to make sure you feel everybody needs to feel welcome, respected, and valued, but we're not going to discipline you if you use these words. What they're saying is, in that movie Open Range, Kevin Costner, he says that. He goes, if you listen to what somebody tells you, if you listen to what somebody says, they'll tell you what they're planning on doing. This is exactly what he is saying here. They're coming out now with a list of words that are for inclusive purposes, to make everybody feel welcome. You know, we don't want you saying the word America anymore, Americans. That just makes people feel racist or not inclusive. We don't want you to say that. But of course, you know, if you use them or if you slip up, there's not going to be any disciplinary actions. We're not going to suspend you right now for it. We're not going to fine you for it right now. It's not a big deal. But you need to make people feel inclusive, so it's probably best you don't say those words. They're telling you right now, in the very near future, they're going to start including disciplinary actions when you use words that people are offended by. What they'll start coming out is next, they'll say, if you say something and somebody's offended by it, and you blatantly keep saying it to repeatedly offend them, we're going to discipline you. That's how it's going to start. That's how it's always started with suppression of free speech. They don't lock it down all at once. They say, oh, well, you know, this guy kept saying, I'm American, I'm American. If you don't like it, deal with it, I'm American. Well, you know, he kept saying it, and it was kind of a derogatory term that he was saying America, and he said it in a racist term, so we're going to have to basically fine him or discipline him or suspend him for just a day. Just be a day, something small. But want to let him know you can't keep saying stuff if it's offensive. That's how it starts. I've watched it happen in person before with a lot of these schools, and they start coming in and telling you what you can and can't say, what you can and can't wear, even on clothes that aren't even offensive, what you can and can't do, who you can and can't talk to, as far as you can't say things to certain people. This is how it all starts to roll out, and this is exactly where it is headed. Much like the City University of New York gutting them with the ridiculous gender identity and pronouns manifesto, where they now say if you blatantly go out of your way to call a he, a she, or a she, a he, or whatever is offensive to them, they can now fine you and essentially jail you if you don't pay that fine if you say something that basically misgender pronouns somebody. This is exactly what they're trying to do. Campuses like CSU are aiming to completely transform the English language into leftist group speech, where every word and phrase will first be pre-screened and approved by the thought police in order to be considered acceptable for speaking and writing. If you told college students 20, 30 years ago, back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, that if they said the term America, that was kind of forbidden. You really shouldn't say that. It doesn't make people feel inclusive. You would literally have students protesting in the middle of every campus in the entire United States. They would be protesting. There would be uprising in college campuses, especially when parents are paying all this money for colleges. But again, you don't hear anybody now because they're doing it slowly. This is how the Communist Manifesto goes. It doesn't go in 1 or 2 year increments. It goes in 30 and 40 year increments. It's designed specifically to go in, undermine the fabric of society, completely remove all morals and values, then come in and reinstitute their new inclusive speech, inclusive ideas, inclusive rhetoric, like we see now with these children being brought to these libraries with these drag queens roaring like hyenas and laying on the ground while children crawl on top of them. Some of the most perverted, sick stuff I've ever seen as far as in a public library in my life is now being hailed to be revolutionary and freedom expressive and all these different terms that are being used specifically to make people think this is not only just okay behavior, this is accepted and embraced behavior. This is the new America, and this is exactly what they're trying to do. This is why I encourage everybody, do not fall into these lies. Do not accept it. There are certain laws and guidelines and restrictions that we all as Christians are placed upon. There are certain things that we can and can't accept in society. There's also laws and restrictions that we have in the United States. Some of them that violate constitutional law, but also others there that are to protect part of the American culture. And we've seen those laws and those ethics and those morals be completely degraded over the last 20 to 30 years, especially in the last 10 years. I mean, ever since that Kenyan Obama got in office in 2008, we saw the entire mindset of the United States be transformed in this. And he set the table for it. That's what, in my opinion, a huge portion of Obama's part in being the president, which I don't even think he was a legitimate president, because we still have not even been able to verify a lot of the legitimacy of where he was born, where he got his money for college, and so on and so on. But that's a time for a different show. So be aware of this, understand what they're trying to do, and do not give into it, because the more that we capitulate to this and the more that we submit to this weirdo ideology that they're trying to put, the more they're going to keep pushing it. The reason why they've gotten so far is because a large portion of the United States has submitted to this. That's the problem. If the bulk of the United States said, absolutely not, you're a moron, you can talk like that all you want, I'm going to talk how I want. If you try to tell me what I can and can't say, I'm basically, we're going to have an issue. But we haven't seen that. We've seen a large percentage of the population capitulate it now because they don't want to have any conflict. That is the aspect, and the sad part about it is the United States of America was built on conflict as much as people don't want to admit it, and it has to be justified conflict, though, not this ridiculous, non-rational, radical ideology, leftist screaming and yelling with no facts to back anything up conflict. That's just stupid. That gets you nowhere, and all it does is set the table to allow these guys to get more footing in there, and they pull their cameras out and pitch a fit and try to get you on camera doing something stupid. So stay away from a lot of those situations when you have people do stuff like that. But on the other side of it, make sure you maintain your American values and you don't submit to this political correctness. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I found to be very interesting. Jeffrey Epstein, as you guys have heard probably already, was found semi-conscious in his jail cell after a possible attack or committed suicide, possible suicide attempt. They don't know. Now, obviously, as you guys already know, we've said something about this a couple weeks ago, is that there's a high probability he's going to be suicided by the same individuals that are involved in all the Clinton aspect. There's something very, very strange going on behind this entire man's background. Not only the entire child trafficking and pedophilia, but everything from his connection to the intelligence, the CIA, to the Mossad, all of it. We've talked about that in detail over the last couple weeks. If you want to listen about it more, listen about it on some of our other shows. But they said that he was found in his cell in a fetal position, basically injured, semi-conscious, with marks on his neck. Some sources said that Epstein tried to take his own life. Others said that he basically had somebody attack him. Others said that he did this to means to get or receive a transfer. I have no idea. I'll tell you that right now. I have no idea what it was. There's no telling what it was. I know that a lot of times when pedophiles, child traffickers go to jail, a lot of times they're killed. Not just because they were, you know, involved in something sinister as far as with the CIA, it mainly because that's almost the one forbidden thing in prison, from what I've been told from people, is that child molesters and pedophiles, that's one thing that prison inmates don't take. I mean, you got, you know, rapists, murderers, thieves, all kinds of stuff in there. But child rapists, that's like absolute no-no, and a lot of the individuals get killed when they're in prison for that. Whether or not that was involving this, I don't know. Whether or not it was staged to try to get him transferred, I don't know. Whether or not he tried to kill himself, I don't know. Whether or not they set it up to try to make it look like he killed himself, I don't know. But I can tell you right now, is that all the people he's involved in, including Bill Clinton, there is a huge bullseye on the back of this man's back, especially after now that he was denied bail, because now they know he's not going anywhere. He's sitting in jail. He's sitting behind bars while he fights charges for exploiting dozens of little girls in New York and Florida, and essentially is facing 45 years in prison. So he has a huge, 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 huge incentive to run his mouth and talk about what had been going on with everybody from his involvement, whether it was the CIA and or the Mossad, and everybody else in between that were higher-ups. So, I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on that. I really hope he could crack the seal and go on record and talk about who all he was involved in, because the thing about this is, as sick as this is, it needs to be brought out in the public. It needs to get talked about in detail. I talked to you guys about that a couple weeks ago, how it was funny how the whole article with Epstein and all the news with Epstein hit mainstream media hard for about a day or two, and then all of a sudden, of course, Trump had to get in a tweet argument with Cortez, and then all that other stuff ensued, and the border stuff, and they changed the narrative real quick. They don't want people talking about Epstein being involved with the CIA and Mossad trafficking girls from the Ukraine so the Clintons and other higher-ups in the U.S. government could go have sex with them on a private island. They don't want that stuff getting discussed. It needs to get discussed because we need to know who is the real deep state sickos in the government right now. They need to be exposed. This is also interesting. If you guys saw yesterday or the day before, I think today's Friday, it's been a crazy week for me. A lot of stuff's been going on down here. Formal special counsel Robert Mueller said Wednesday, that's where it was, that he was not familiar with Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm that commissioned the Steele dossier. If you guys saw this, again, this is being brought into light primarily to A, try to take more news and focus it on this as far as with the Clown Act, but also, two, this shows you, and this is what you need to understand with this shows you the level of corruption and control that the Clintons and the Obamas and the deep state still have. The Cabot, Steve Cabot, Republican member of the House Judiciary Committee, said, and I quote, "When you talk about the firm that produced the Steele reporting, the name of the firm that produced the Fusion GPS, that produced that was Fusion GPS, is that correct?" Mueller said, "I'm not familiar with that," while scouring his 448-page report of the Russian probe. Mueller then explicitly claimed that he did not investigate any Steele dossier because it was not in his purview. Now, of course, Donald Trump Jr. went on Twitter and absolutely hammered Mueller for claiming that he didn't know anything about the GPS after Mueller said that Fusion GPS and the so-called Steele dossier, which came out of the firm, were not included as probe. Don Jr. jokingly said he must have avoided newspapers and TVs for the past few years. But then he goes on to say, does anyone actually honestly believe that after 2 years and $50 million, Robert Mueller does not know anything about Fusion GPS, given that it was the genesis of the entire investigation? What this should show everybody, very clear cut, under certain terms, that Mueller is obviously being controlled by the deep state, and that the Clintons and the Obamas and everybody involved in that entire aspect with the Steele dossier will not be touched. Because if Mueller would have gone on record and said he investigated Fusion GPS and the Steele dossier, that means it would have led him back into the Clintons and the Obamas and everybody else involved in that from the beginning, at least partially. And then he would have to go on record saying he investigated them, and he would either have to lie under oath and saying they were not involved in it, or he'd have to say they were involved in it, which would then open up an entire can of worms, because he'd have to say, well, they were involved in creating a Steele dossier, which essentially led into the fake Russian collusion that essentially led me to spend $50 million into an investigation that was absolutely a complete and total obfuscation from the truth and used solely for a purpose of cannon fodder to keep people focused on Russian collusion and Russian meddling in an election that was not hacked, simply to keep people occupied on lies and propaganda instead of what was really going on. That's what he'd actually have to say, but he can't say that. He can't say that. That would absolutely kill the narrative. So now he has to deny, after being involved in an investigation for 2 years with $50 million, that he has no idea what Fusion GPS is or the Steele dossier, and is simply, that's not in his 440-page report. What are you talking about? Never heard of it. I was in, you know, California with the flu when that happened. I didn't hear about this for the last 2 years, which is essentially what he's saying, which I get a kick out of, because it shows you again, and I've said this repeatedly over and over and over again, unless we the people actually start being more vocal about this and actually all start talking about this in unison, I'm talking by the multi-million, about what's really going on, whether it be with Epstein, whether it be with the Mossad and the CIA, whether it be with this whole thing in general, nothing is going to happen. There is no 100,000 sealed indictments being handled right now. There is no big, giant purging of the deep state. There's none of this right now. That showed you on Wednesday that Mueller is completely and totally controlled by the deep state, because he absolutely, under no certain terms, could he bring up the fact that he investigated or knew anything about Fusion GPS, because it would have led him right into the Clintons and Obama and everybody involved. And he could not say that, because it would open up a can of worms. So best believe that there is nothing going on right now unless we the people actually start making a difference and taking control. The population of the government faction, as far as in the Senate and House and Congress, all these factions, they're not going to do anything. They are not going to do anything. The very, very few of them that may actually be true constitutionalists now are so far and few between that they can make very little difference in there. And I think that swamp is so infested and it's so deep and there's so much sludge in there that once you actually get up there, you realize that it's kind of the point you don't even want to try to venture out in the deep water and figure out how deep it goes. You don't want to go any deeper. You can chest deep in that with the gators and the water moccasins and the swamp up in D.C. And you go, you know what? I can't feel the bottom anymore. I am done. I'm going back to shore. I'm going back with everybody else. I don't want to be out here. This is too dangerous. And I think that is exactly what happens up there. And so to the point that nothing ever is being done, nothing is being exposed, no true investigation is being dealt with as far as completely and totally thoroughly, because once people dig into it, they realize, not going to happen. I mean, if we actually saw the level of corruption just on a small scale, which is what happened with Epstein, I think, that's really what we saw. We saw a individual that was funded by the deep state, whether it be CIA, Mossad, they're all intermingled, was funded by the deep state with millions, if not billions of dollars, including a private 727 jet to fly around the world anytime he wanted to traffic children, to use those girls against individuals that were higher up in power to record them and to get information on them and use that as blackmail so then they could control individuals, whether it be in other governments, whether it be in the Senate, whether it be in the Congress, didn't matter, to use those individuals in essentially compromising situations with little kids so they could get them to vote the way they do and continue going the direction they wanted to do. We saw that with Epstein now, and of course, nobody's talking about it. Nobody's bringing it up. So it's just something that I really wanted to kind of touch base on when I saw a lot of that stuff earlier today and give you my take on it. Also, too, now, radical anti-gun leaders are trying to pull a fast one on the American people by sneaking another gun control in the so-called Federal Violence Against Women Act, the VAWA. The bill, which has already passed the House, includes provisions that are actually dangerous to women. That's why the bill should instead be known as Disarm a Women Act. The provisions of the Disarm Women Act would allow for any dating partner or former dating partner to strip a gun-owning woman of her constitutional rights, which is a phone call to the judge. Kid you not. This is a red flag gun order gone on steroids, again, aimed solely at women to make sure that the women do not have the right to arm themselves. We've seen a lot of this now with these quickie proceedings with the red flag gun laws, all the way up to the individual in Maryland who was shot and killed by law enforcement because his sister-in-law essentially turned him in and said that she was scared of him, even though he was 68 years old and never been arrested for anything, committed no crime, done nothing wrong, and law enforcement shows up with a signed warrant from a judge with a red flag gun order saying, we're here to confiscate all of your firearms with zero due process, with zero evidence of a crime. We're basing this solely on the fact that this is Minority Report, and we think there's some chance that you may possibly commit a crime sometime in the future based on what your sister-in-law says, and that gives us the right to disarm you and strip you of your Second Amendment right. And he said, no, absolutely not. You're not coming to my house. And they tried to barge in. He got in a tussle with one of the officers, and of course, as the report says, the officer ended up shooting him. They don't know, you know, he did it in fear of his life, of course. While you broke into another man's house to confiscate his firearms without due process and strip him of his Second Amendment right, you were in fear of your life, so you shot him. And of course, they said it was completely justified. That's the red flag gun law that we have in place in Florida and 16 other states now. Now what they're doing is they're sliding it in federally with the Women's Act. So they're now saying that any dating partner or forming dating partner can do this, which I'm sure the verbiage, if you look at this in detail, once it actually gets passed, it's going to be vice versa. So it's going to be man or woman, by the way. So you're going to be able to go in now. If any dating partner or forming dating partner is going to be able to turn you in. Remember, before, the red flag gun law was primarily aimed directly at family members. That was primarily or spouses. This is dating partners, guys. This means that you meet a girl in college, you're hanging out, you go out for a couple weeks, you start dating officially, and all of a sudden you find out she's really liberal about guns. She comes in your house one day, and you got your safe open, and you're cleaning, you know, your Mossberg, you're cleaning your AR, pick a gun. You went to the shooting range the day before, and she goes, oh my gosh, what is that? And you go, it's an AR-15, babe. She goes, I can't believe you own one of those. And you go, babe, we've been dating for 3 or 4 weeks. You know I like guns. She goes, well, I thought you liked to go skeet shooting. I didn't know you have an assault weapon in your house. And you go, it's not an assault weapon. It's a semi-automatic AR-15. I'm cleaning it. We went shooting yesterday. Why do you even have that? For any lawful purpose, babe. Why else would I have an AR-15 for any lawful purpose and defend myself? I don't want to be around that. That's so scary. I'm terrified right now. And she busts out the front door. And you go, well, that was bizarre. That's not going to last long with her. You continue cleaning up your gun. You put it back in the safe. Well, unbeknownst to you, she jumps on her phone with her unbelievably Hillary-supporting mother and talks to her mom. And mom, she goes, Mom, I'm dating this guy in college. I've been with him a couple weeks. He's a great guy, but I just walked in his house, and he's got an assault weapon. And her mom goes, oh, my gosh, call the cops right now. You cannot trust that man. He is a danger to you. He's probably going to shoot you in the entire school. Call the cops right now. She goes, okay, call the cops. John Smith, yeah, I've been dating him for a couple weeks. I just walked in his house. He had an AR-15 out. I'm in fear of my life. I cannot deal with this. We've been dating. I have to make sure that nobody's hurt right now. Boom. First pretext and complete pretext for law enforcement to then go to the judge and say, hey, judge, we got a call in, notification, John Smith over here, he's got an AR-15 in his house, this woman identified it, she called in, she said she's in fear of her life, she doesn't know what he's going to do with it, he may shoot people with it, and we gotta jump on this lead right now. He signs it, red flag gun law, bam, done. They show up in a squad car, SWAT team, however many people they want to show up with, they knock on the front door, John Smith opens the door, he goes, whoa, got a lot of cops here, what's going on? They go, sir, we got a red flag gun order, step aside, we're coming in to confiscate your weapons, and you go, what in the world happened? We've got reports from your dating partner that you have an AR-15 and you're planning to use it in a mass shooting, and you go, what are you even talking about? That is not anything that's going on. I never even said that, nor do I imply that. I was simply cleaning my gun when she came over here, and she got flustered and left, and I thought that was the end of it. Nope, sir, we're confiscating all of your firearms now. You can go to the judge, and you have a year to basically prove in court that you are lawful enough to own your firearms. And you go, what the heck just happened? That is exactly what they are doing with these red flag gun laws. And it can go like that verbatim based off this new Violence Against Women Act. And it's troubling to me that so many people blindly support these unconstitutional amendments. And what's ironic to me is that so many individuals in the Senate and Congress support this stuff, and they don't even know what it does. Or if they do know what it does, they're completely and totally oblivious to what's really going on behind the scenes. They're getting this stuff set in place. I told this to a buddy of mine the other day. This is highly probable of what we're looking at in the near future. From a lot of the sources that I've talked to, whether it be from law enforcement, individuals that are retired military, the reason why they're stoking up all the tensions, whether it be blacks against whites or blacks against Hispanics or Hispanics against everybody as far as with the legals, you name it, LGBT against everybody, back and forth, they're trying to create little factions of people in the United States. They don't want everybody to be united. They don't want nationality. Do you understand that? That's why they're removing the terms like America from college. They don't like the term nationalism. They don't want any of that. They don't want people to be united. They want to break people up in about 20, 25 different subgroups so that everybody's at everybody's throat. Once they light the match and once they get burning hot enough and they get enough anger and tension, it's going to ignite. Now, whether or not it ignites organically by all the rhetoric they put out there, or they use some type of 5G network to increase the aggression and violence of a lot of the people, which we already know 5G can do that. It can make you real hostile and real aggressive. It just depends what frequency they put it on. That's a fact. They already use it in the weapon systems as far as active denial systems. It all depends on what frequency they turn it to, depending on the level of power that it puts out, the specific frequency that it hits. We already know that, so that's a fact. Put that aside. So whether or not we have some massive civil unrest based organically, or it's pushed, or it's facilitated by Antifa contractors, I don't know. But what we do know as well is that the United Nations has already been notified by Obama, when he already signed this into law, that if we have any type of significant civil unrest that the United States cannot properly handle based on a humanitarian factor, the United Nations is the first responder to come in and help on a humanitarian basis, which they say, humanitarian, as peacekeepers to restore law and order to the United States in conjunction with the United States military or National Guard. Now, however all that plays out, I don't know. But then you have all this stuff that you see. And a lot of people say, well, the United Nations, you know, they could probably only put together 100, 150, 200,000 troops at best by bringing all the nations together. That's plausible. Maybe a little bit more if they really, really tied together with the UK and Europe and stuff like that. But again, yeah, it's not going to be a sizable enough force to completely control the United States. It won't be enough. However, what they will do is, once these laws are in place, they're going to implement them hardcore with these red flag gun laws. That will be the first thing they do. They will get a list of names. And Dave Hodges has talked about this, and he's verified this, and I believe him. So I've talked to other people who have said this too, that they will have a red list. And whether or not people are going to say it's a kill list or it's an assassination list, I don't know. What I personally think it's going to be, and what multiple people have told me, it's going to be a red list of anybody that's basically a dissenting voice, gun owner, patriot, anybody that's going to be a problem. You saw this movie in Red Dawn, especially the first one. They are going to go in and have a list, because then they're going to have individuals. They're going to know where you live. They're going to know as far as what guns you have, especially if you own any firearms that have ever been transferred through an FFL. They already have all that on record. So best believe, unless every single firearm that you ever have owned ever in your life has been basically cash, which it may be for some people, they're going to know you have a firearm. And then if that doesn't take the cake, they're going to understand that if you've ever been on a cell phone or ever been on the internet or ever made an internet search of anything involving a firearm, you're probably on the list as well. Once they have that in place, then they can start going in and saying, well, we know this individual's a problem. We know this individual's a problem. We don't have time to argue with them. Just sign the order. We're going to start confiscating guns. And they'll start hitting gun owners, bam, 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 here and there. It won't be in one giant swath in one neighborhood. It'll be one here, one here, one this neighborhood, one of this neighborhood, and it'll happen really, really quickly. And then at that point, there's only going to be one option for gun owners, because we know what's coming next, and that's going to be essentially an armed revolt. There's no other option at that point. And so that will bring in a full-blown civil war in the United States that will then lead at that point to some type of massive, massive, massive confrontation, and where it goes from there, I have no idea. So understand, that's what these red flag gun laws are being put in place for. They're not for anybody's safety. They're not for your protection. They're there to control the populace and to get people under control the best they possibly can. That is it. Also, too, in other news, astragalus. You guys know we have the astragalus supreme formula. It's a really good formula. We put in a lot of our immune system formulas, and why it's so good, it's been around for so long, and it's been studied so extensively on what it does as far as increasing white blood cell counts and fighting off infections and viruses and so forth. A new study published in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine was really cool. At Hong Kong Baptist University, examined astragalus on its inflammation properties, its ability to reduce inflammation, and reverse the side effects of chemotherapeutic agents, meaning if you're on chemotherapy. During the progression of inflammatory diseases and cancer, nitric oxide and pro-inflammatory cytokines are produced. The researchers tested whether astragalus can suppress inflammation in the mouse macrophage. Results demonstrated that astragalus suppressed the LPS-induced generation of NO without harming normal cells in the mouse macrophage. What that essentially means is, the researchers concluded that astragalus can be used in treatment of inflammatory diseases and inflammation-induced tumor development. This study was published in the American Journal of Chinese Medicine. In addition to its protective effects against cancer and leukemia, astragalus can also protect against lung cancer. In a 2017 study published in the Cancer Cell International, researchers from Zhong Hospital of Wuhan University in China examined the anti-tumor activity of astragalus in human non-small lung cells and its mechanism of action. The results of the study suggested that astragalus can inhibit the spread and delay of the growth of human non-small lung cancer cells. So this is some really cool stuff. Astragalus has been one of the compounds that I've always used on an off basis. It's not something I recommend taking on a regular basis because you just simply don't need it. But if you start getting run down, if you start getting a sore throat, if you start getting a stuffy nose, obviously you need to keep your vitamin C and D3 elevated all the time. That's a staple. But the astragalus is kind of like that supercharged shot. You know, you're strapping a blower onto it. You already got a good built motor. You're strapping a blower onto it, and you're really boosting that immune system. That's what astragalus does. Now, one thing to disclaim with astragalus, it will elevate your body temperature slightly. So if you have a really, really high fever, if you have a child that's having a high fever, you know, they're pushing up into the 101, 102, 103, do not use astragalus at that point. Astragalus should really be used at the beginning phases of getting sick to try to prevent the virus or whatever going on with you from progressing any further, and help the body fight it off. If it does go into a full-blown flu, though, or full-blown as far as a fever, do not use that product until you get your body temperature under control, because it will elevate. I've taken it before, and I mean, I've been, you know, floating around. I already run hot normally. I usually run around 99. Just my body composition, my metabolism runs really fast. So a lot of times, if I'm already hot in general and I'm starting to get sick, I've seen my body temperature go up all the way almost to 100 degrees before, 99.8, almost 100, running a high dose of astragalus, and that's with no fever present. So it will do that to you. Just want to use that disclaimer. But overall, as far as for the immune system, as far as for what I just talked about, astragalus is amazing, and that is why we sell so much of it, and that is why we started carrying so much of it when we did the research on what it actually does. and what it can contribute to the body, it's absolutely amazing. Also, too, in other news, this is another health article here. If anyone ever has noticed the amount of dialysis offices popping up more and more around the country, that is because it is becoming a serious problem. Now, what's interesting is a new research study was done tying proton pump inhibitors to an increased risk of kidney disease and kidney failure. Proton pump inhibitors are the stuff like the Zantac, the anti-acid, anti-heartburn medications that they give out all the time. A lot of them now are over-the-counter with low dosage, and of course, there's a lot of them that they prescribe on a regular basis. But some 13 million prescriptions for proton pump inhibitors are doled out every year. That's not even including the millions of people who buy the lower-strength versions of the over-the-counter drug, the PPI. Researchers from the University of Buffalo recently published research tying PPIs to an increased risk of chronic kidney disease and kidney failure. One of the most commonly prescribed type of drugs, the newfound risk of such an adverse effect is extremely troublesome, considering the pharmaceutical industry makes billions off PPIs annually. After studying health data for more than 190,000 participants over the course of 15 years, the researchers were shocked to see the effects of PPIs can potentially have on kidney health. Across the board, the team found that PPI use correlated with a 20% increase in the risk of kidney disease and almost quadrupled the risk of kidney failure. Given the increased global use of PPIs, the relationship between PPIs and renal disease could pose a substantial disease and financial burden to the healthcare system and public health, the lead doctor, Dr. David Jacobs, stated. Jacobs noted further that just in 2008, 113 million prescriptions for PPIs were filled. Big Pharma made over $14 billion in that year alone. As I've told you guys before, PPI should only be used for a very, very short time. Even the designers and the scientists that came up with PPIs blatantly said that. They said proton pump inhibitors for acid reflux and heartburn should only be used for a few weeks to fix an ulcer. But again, the doctors have gotten the kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies because of the tens of billions of dollars they make to keep people on these drugs that lead to all types of health issues, including directly linking them to kidney disease and kidney failure. Guys, thank you for the support of healthmasters.com. Thank you for the emails you're continually sending me all the time. I get a lot of different feedback from everybody. Thank you for all of that. We're here to do the best we absolutely can for you, including giving you the best news that we can as far as the real true news that Ted and I always pull together, not the garbled up fake news that the mainstream media likes to push out of their propaganda presses, but the actual true news and a different viewpoint of what's really going on. So thank you for that support. Be sure to check out healthmasters.com for all your health supplement needs. Lots of different specials, including the CBD 3-pack special. Buy two bottles, get the third one 50% off right now. Beet juice powders on summer sale for 10% off. As I mentioned earlier, the Muscle Blast. And of course, if you guys want to jump on it before we run out, the Ultimate Multiple Powder Best Buy sale. We found a little bit of that left on there, so we do have it on the website right now for $29.99, and it will stay that price until we completely run out this time. We won't be changing anything or doing anything on it. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. Thank you again for the support. Everyone have an absolutely blessed, amazing weekend. Have a blessed Friday night. Be safe. Stay awake. Be prepared. Always have situational awareness of what's going on around you all the time. Have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday as always.